Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day, Bill Michaels Show on the air. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. Find us on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. You can always track us down over there, and we always appreciate you taking a listen to us. The next guy, you can find him at Coach Billick on Twitter. That's where you track him down, and he always does a great job for us and X-Tech Pads. And you can go to xtechpads.com and type in your order right now and use the promo code DRAFT, and you can get some percentages off as you might get ready for either spring ball or getting you ready for the fall. But Coach Brian Billick now joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, back for another appearance, and the draft is now complete. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great.
It was this like Christmas when you get to open up some new packages that you got coming into your organization once the draft is over?
Yeah, it's great fun. You know, between the schedule being released the week before, and then you add this last bit of talent. I mean, clearly there'll be some additions here and there along the way. But now the season begins to feel real because I know who, what, when, and where. And I've got my players, and now we'll jump into the OTA. So, it's beginning to feel like the season.
Now, it was a defensive-heavy draft as far as the corners go and the secondary goes for the Green Bay Packers. Mike Pettine, the new defensive coordinator coming in. You know Mike. A lot of guys already talking. They pick up a Muhammad Wilkerson in the offseason as well. They made a few adjustments here and there. But the biggest thing that I hear is Pettine's going to play to the talent that he has. And bringing in a lot of defensive help, and Tremont Williams, Devon House is back, plus you add in all the new corners. Have they gotten, in your opinion, just looking at this thing on its face, do you believe this defense has gotten better?
Oh, yeah, I think so, with the acquisitions. And, of course, you put your first three picks in the draft on the defensive side and your first two back into the secondary. I'm sure that's the expectation because of, you know, what's expected when you come in. Mike Pettine is now given some of the tools to make this thing right. You know, the Packers have committed their last six draft choices, first-round picks, to defensive players. So, you know, clearly the commitment's there, and they should have the players to be substantially better.
I want to go back to something that you and I talked about during the Super Bowl and Mike McCarthy had addressed going into the offseason. He said, our defense has to be better than our offense. And at the time, everybody raised an eyebrow going, what the hell are you talking about? You have Aaron Rodgers. But in essence, he was saying, we have to be better because if we should ever lose Aaron Rodgers again, we can't use the excuse as not having a good enough defense and not put us in the postseason. So when you look I don't want to say the analytics, but if you look at percentages and say, okay, For a quarterback of Aaron Rodgers' ilk and a decent backup, where does your defense need to be to where you can easily say, hey, look, even if our guy goes down, we're still going to be right there because we're this good?
Well, that's a hard one to quantify because when you are good offensively, and I understand what Coach McCarthy's saying, but with Aaron Rodgers, you're going to be pretty good offensively as long as he's playing. When you're good and you can score points, a lot of times your defense, at least statistically, is not going to be a top-rated defense. Why? Because you're playing with a lead. Teams a lot of times just have to open it up, particularly at the end of the game. You may give up a lot of yards and the like. So it's kind of hard to be ranked statistically high defensively when you're really good or you have an Aaron Rodgers offensive. But that doesn't mean that you're not good. That doesn't mean that you're not substantial on the inside, making teams tough to run, don't give up a lot of big plays, force turnovers. You can do all that and still give up the yards and some of the things that we just generally attribute to a defense. that may not look like a great ranking, but you are, in fact, playing really good defense.
With all the draft grades that have come out, and I'm sure you've been a part of a draft grade that they gave you an A, and then there's another draft they probably gave you a C or a D or something even worse, how much do really the prognosticators on the outside looking in know when it comes to the talent that you're bringing in, or are they just merely judging the value of the talent for the pick that it was?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Not to diminish our guys at NFL Network, for example, Mike Mayock, Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, they're as good as anybody I've been with. They really are. They're good talent evaluators. But when you look at the draft as a whole, it's silly to try to rank the draft now until you see, as you know, the proverbial, you got to wait 2 or 3 years. Now, when you look at a draft as many players as the Ravens and Green Bay actually drafted, you got to look at that, and yeah, just the casual dribble go, well, yeah, they had a pretty good draft. They got a lot of players. You look at a draft like the Tennessee Titans, they only got 4 players. Now, they got some pretty good ones, but you look at that and go, well, okay, they didn't have much of a draft. That's about the only barometer you can have. And, of course, those teams that took quarterback, their draft, regardless, you could take 4 Pro Bowlers in this draft, but if Cleveland or the Jets in taking Darnold, or Josh Allen doesn't make it in Buffalo, or Josh Rosen in Arizona, they're going to view that as a failed draft.
Talking with Brian Billick, Super Bowl-winning head coach, NFL Network analyst, also with X-Tech Pads. Coach, I want to go to the offensive side of the football. Aaron Rodgers, at least for the most part, dispelled the myth that he was unhappy. So they go out and get him more than a few wide receivers. Jimmy Graham comes in, but he also loses his confidant in Jordy Nelson. With the moves that have been made, how much do you think that affects Aaron Rodgers, especially in the sense that he's getting older, and he almost compared himself the other day to an aging Brett Favre, saying, I don't even know some of these guys in the locker room anymore because I'm not on the same page with them, even with my age at this point.
Yeah, when you're there someplace long enough, as Aaron has been, you're going to go through this transition. And as much as it was tough to lose Jordy Nelson, that's just a natural evolution that an organization is going to go through, and that's the job of a quarterback, and Aaron will. We'll adjust to it. Of course, Green Bay has been known for years for drafting and signing free agents from within and developing them. And that's tough because that does fall on Aaron and the coaches to constantly, you have the anchor of the guys who are there. Jimmy Graham was a huge pickup. I think to have a presence at tight end, if indeed he'll continue to play at the level he's been at. I thought Martellus Bennett was going to be the best free agent signing a couple of years ago. Obviously, it didn't turn out. He was hurt, didn't play as well or as much. Jimmy Graham should be Jimmy Graham. And Aaron Rodgers, to have that asset at tight end to go with the other things on the outside. And, of course, they added this Jamon Moore from Missouri in the draft as well. And I'm sure they'll nurture him along like they do any other receiver that they brought into it. And they should have their typical, you know, solid core of receivers for Aaron to go to. So I think the free agent pickup of Jimmy Graham was huge this year.
Mike McCarthy said he's going to take a scrub brush to the playbook, kind of go back to the beginning, and then he brings back the guy that was probably better known as the guy, the daily guy, the setup guy, the film room guy, the guy that got everybody on the same page, and even maybe a buffer between the quarterback and the head coach and Joe Philbin. When you want to reset things like that, how difficult is it as a head coach to say, okay, I'm just going to not toss everything out, but I'm going to toss everything out, so to speak, and we're just going to start it over and make it from scratch, but we're going to make it maybe a Green Bay Packers offense 2.0. We want to make it bigger, better, and better with some familiar faces. How difficult is that?
Well, I don't know that they're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. There's going to be the fundamentals of what they do. I think bringing in Joe Philbin, a fresh set of eyes now. The good thing is it's a fresh set of eyes with someone who's been there before. So he has an excellent reference frame to say, gee, you know, boy, how you kind of morphed into this or that, and is this really good? And have you thought about that within the context of knowing what the offense was in the first place? So I think it's a great resource for them to come in. And I don't know that they're going to, you know, total changes, but there'll be some things that, like any good coach, when you're there long enough, and Mike's been there an awful long time, you know, a good smart coach is going to do that. It's going to shake it up a little bit and say, let's go back and really look some of the things that we get into routine and we're comfortable with. Let's go back and really see how productive they are, or are we just comfortable with it and therefore we think it's more productive than it really is, or some of those concepts that you really aren't married to. That you go back and you look, you know what, when we did do this, this is pretty good. Maybe we should do more of it. So, yeah, you do that. Every team does that in the offseason to a degree, but no more so than a team that's been together or philosophy under Mike McCarthy that's been there for that long with that new set of eyes coming in. And Aaron will be able to wade in on that as well in terms of some of the perspectives he has.
How much do you give a player, coach, in the sense that, you know, Aaron Rodgers felt he should have been at least consulted in some way, shape, or form when they chose to move on from his quarterback's coach, chose to move on from Jordy Nelson? I mean, every player wants to feel appreciated, but there's a fine line between feeling appreciated and actually kind of tipping the hand of what it is you're going to do and allowing the player to break the news rather than maybe the coach or the GM. How difficult a line is that?
Yeah, you got to be very careful with that because certainly you're going to get some input, particularly when it comes to coaches. It's particularly a player the level of and the longevity of an Aaron Rodgers of what do you think? You know, we're going to do this scrub brush to the offense. What do you think in terms of some of the other things we're doing? But you want to be careful not to put a player in a position where he's having to pick and choose the coaches and say, yeah, keep this guy, no, get rid of that guy. That can be an uncomfortable situation. So you're going to seek some input. But on behalf of the player, to a certain degree, you want to allow him an arm's length distance from some of those decisions. And at the end of the day, you as a head coach have to take that advice, but you're the one that has to make the final determination because of all the other inner workings that are going to go on, the way the coaches have to deal with one another. So, you know, whether it's Bill Belichick with the Tom Brady and you hear some of the things that are going on there, I think that's just a natural evolution. When you've got a head coach and a quarterback that have been together as long as these guys have, yeah, there's going to be a lot of that coming and going, and you want some input, but at the end of the day, you're going to do your job as the head coach.
Before I let you go, you know, both drafts are done now for Chicago and Minnesota as well. Minnesota's still stacked going into the season. They get their quarterback. They believe they're that much better. Meanwhile, they finally put some weapons around Mitch Trubisky. They've donated so much to the offense. They're still trying to pick up defensive pass rushers, but that defense has gotten scary good, and now they've actually put some offensive help around Mitch Trubisky. Talk about the schism between, say, the Packers and the Minnesota Vikings and the Bears as the Bears continue to climb out of the hole that they were in the division.
Yeah, I think you got to throw Detroit in there. I think Detroit had a very good offseason and draft as well. So I think it's going to be very competitive. Minnesota, obviously, still until someone displaces them, is going to be the top of the division. You get Aaron Rodgers back for an entire season. They're going to feel like they have an impact with it and be better and different on defense, obviously, with Mike Pittman now the defensive coordinator. Chicago looks to be better. Obviously, they made the change as the coach. They did add Roquan Smith, outstanding linebacker out of Georgia, so the defense is going to be better. Solidified the offensive line, maybe with that rookie center James Daniel, Anthony Miller, a good big receiver from Memphis. So yeah, they you know how far they're going to come. Well, we'll see. How far does Mitch Trubisky come in his second year? So yeah, it looks like it could be a very competitive division this year.
Coach, how are things going over at X-Tech Pads? You're getting in kind of more and more doors, aren't you?
It is. It's exciting. You know, we've been talking about it for a while. It is the new wave of technology in pads. We're in 29 of the NFL locker rooms, over 300 of the colleges. Places like Michigan, UCLA, Notre Dame, Ohio State have all gone over to X-Tech pads. You know, you just talked about the draft. Josh Rosen and Josh Allen both are in X-Tech pads. This is where young people are finding this the best way to be protected. The league continues to take the head out of the game as it should. And so the shoulder pads become that much more important. You go on to Instagram and look at the at X-Tech Pads or go online at xtechpads.com. You'll see exactly what we're talking about. Put in the promo code DRAFT and you're going to get 10% off your first purchase.
Always a pleasure to chat with you. Always a pleasure to watch the demonstrations from X-Tech Pads, and we'll chat again down the road. Thanks, Coach, as always, okay?
Sounds good.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Coach Brian Billick. You can find him at Coach Billick on Twitter. See his stuff there. Also at X-Tech Pads. You can also X, the letter X, TECHPADS.com, XTechPads.com. You can see their stuff there. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Bill Michaels' show is on the air. Brewers making a move. Brandon Woodruff heading down. Brett Phillips coming back up as they're making some moves.
I think this is going to be a short stint, though, for Brett Phillips, because tomorrow it'll be an afternoon game for the Brewers. Wade Miley is expected to start. They have not called up Wade Miley yet. He's been pitching in Biloxi.
Yeah.
So I would like to think that this might just be a one-day thing for Brett Phillips, which kind of sucks. Get on a plane, fly to Cincinnati, and then fly back to Colorado Springs. But that's probably what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Let's just hope they get a win tonight and they continue the dominance over Cincinnati. And beating up on teams that they should be beating up on.
Yep.
That's the biggest key right now.
I mean, 2 out of 3 against Cincinnati is, I'll take that.
You just keep winning series.
Right.
You know?
But don't lose a series against one of the worst teams in baseball.
No, if you continue to beat everybody else and you lose only to the Cubs, you're going to have a better record than the Cubs. And then you figure that out come the postseason. That's been their nemesis.
They're 1-7 against the Cubs.
Right.
1-7.
Right.
If you want to win the division, got to do a little bit better against the Cubs. Otherwise, you will not win. Because losing to the Cubs, it's almost like losing 2 games. Because it helps tie-breaking situations when you're Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly have the upper hand right now.
Chicago is... They're a better team. I mean, they just are. On paper, statistically... Their rotation, you know, they're a better team. They're supposed to be. The Brewers are supposed to be a team that's on the rise. They just got here really quick. They just kind of skyrocketed where nobody thought they should. And then they went out and added a couple of pieces that have made a huge difference offensively for this team in Yelich and Kane. And they certainly have produced. Now it's a matter of just kind of taking all of that that soup, putting it in the pot and stirring it and watching the cream rise to the top. And eventually, you would at least assume you're going to see this team begin to win and win consistently. And when
soup tastes great.
That's there you go. And when you do, then you're going to be able to say, okay, you know, you're off and running. Here you go. I don't think right now the desk, and there are some people that are saying, well, you know, you're an arm away. Well, why? I mean, you might be in a month, but... Not right now. I mean, what's been the problem has been the ability to score runs consistently. And I believe as the weather gets warmer, that's going to come. That's just going to come. I'm not too concerned about that, to be perfectly honest with you. 855-830-8648. By the way, as the temperature rises and as tailgates go to outside in warmer weather, at every meeting, at every gathering, at every celebration, Cousin Subs, they make it happen. If you're going to be doing some tailgating, whether it's an individual sub or a party box or the classic 2-foot party sub, and you don't want to do the grilling thing, or maybe you just want to accent the grilling thing. You've got some brats and hot dogs, but you want something along the side, you can do that. That is our friends at Cousin Subs. Whatever the occasion, they never settle for being just good enough. That's our friends over at Cousin Subs. Go to CousinSubs.com, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, going to get back. If you missed it, we went through the beginning of the show today. We went through a lot of the draft choices of the Green Bay Packers. And one of the guys we had a chance to talk to was Lorenzo Ward. He's the secondaries coach for the Louisville Cardinals. And so we're going to talk with him about Alexander and his ability and what he brings to the table when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. And you're going to find that conversation hopefully rather interesting. But we talked, if you missed any of it today, go back to the podcast section or the download section on the website and go to BillMichaelsSports.com. You can find it there, or just simply go to radio.com, find the Bill Michaels Show. But we talked with Sterling Gilbert, the offensive coordinator for USF, the Bulls down in Florida, their football team, Andy Hill, the associate head coach of the Missouri Tigers. And he coached the wide receivers for the last 19 years, got his discussion. Obviously, an hour with Steve Novak was fantastic, talking Bucks basketball, putting a cap on the season. Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com was here. We just talked with Brian Billick, a Super Bowl-winning head coach from the NFL Network. He joined us a little while ago. So if you want to listen to any of it or all of it, it's all right there. But you're going to hear from Lorenzo Ward coming up here momentarily, the secondary coach for the Louisville Cardinals. And we'll get the lowdown or hear the lowdown on Jari Alexander. As to how good is it, Jair? I've heard like 5 different pronunciations of his first name.
I'm going with Jair.
Jair Alexander.
That's what I'm going on.
I've heard Jair. I've heard Jari. I've heard Jair.
Jair.
Jair Alexander. So We're going to go ahead and let you hear that coming up here shortly. Stay tuned for that. But the Green Bay Packers, at least by many, and I don't know if you saw me post this last night on both Facebook and on Twitter, because many of you have retweeted it. But if you go with, and we just asked Coach Billick this in the last segment, but if you go with the national pundits, okay, the people that evaluate talent and then go by the draft as far as to the level of value for the picks when you pick them for that talent, three teams in the National Football League graded out to an A, A plus, or A minus. Three. Denver Broncos, Green Bay Packers, and Chicago Bears. The B grades came out as Arizona Cardinals, Baltimore Ravens, New York Giants, New England Patriots, Jacksonville Jaguars, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then it goes on down from there. You had the Jets, the Chargers, the Titans, the Falcons, the Bengals, the Panthers, the Dolphins, the Colts, Redskins, Browns, Eagles. Browns, somewhat surprising. Browns still get a B rating. Not a B plus, a B rating. But not as high up as you would think. As John Dorsey continues to try to rebuild that team. The B minuses, Philadelphia, Dallas, the 49ers, the Vikings, the Bills, the Texans, the Rams, and then the Lions. And everybody else is either average or below average from there. So the Packers, one of the top three teams by many, whether it's the NFL Network, Lance Zierlein, the New York Post, Mike Canizzaro, Vinny Iyer, the Sporting News, the Sports Illustrated, Andy Benoit, who we've had on the show many times, ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr., NFL.com, The Scout, Rob Rang, John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, who does a fantastic job covering the NFL. The Draft Wire, Luke Easterling, SB Nation, Dan Kadar, Bleacher Report, Ian Wharton, Walter Football, The Report, USA Today, and then Nate Davis, CBS Sports, and Pete Prisco. And it kind of goes on from there. All these national writers get together, and they all give everybody a grade, and then it all averages out, and that's how they come up with the grades. But Denver, Green Bay, and Chicago, the top three when it comes to overall what they did in the NFL draft. When we come back, speaking of the draft, Lorenzo Ward, the secondaries coach for the Louisville Cardinals, talks about the Packers' top pick. You're going to hear that conversation next on The Bill Michael Show.
Let the good times roll, and I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is? If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key.
Welcome back. We continue on. Hey, you're going to hear from Lorenzo Ward. He is the defensive backs coach, secondary coach for the Louisville Cardinals. Going to be talking about Jaire Alexander, the Packers' first-round draft choice. After that, want to tell you about an event coming up, and many of you have been asking me about it. And they're back. If you didn't hear the announcement yesterday, the cigar dinners are back. This one is going to be in Madison. It's coming up in Madison. And I'll give you all the details, how to get tickets, where to get tickets. It's going to be Thursday night, June 7th. These things sold out right away last year. We did six of them, and they all sold out. We did another cigar event up in at Prohibition in Green Bay. That was for WNFL. We had a great time doing that. That sold out right away. These things go quick. So I'm going to tell you all the details coming up after the interview with Lorenzo Ward. Lorenzo Ward is the secondary coach for the Louisville Cardinals, and Jaire Alexander, the first-round draft choice, coming out of Louisville. We started out talking about the first-round draft choice for the Packers, what he's going to bring to the table.
I think he's pretty special. I've been blessed to be in this profession for going on my 28th season. I've coached high school, I've coached college, and I've coached in the NFL, and Jaire, of all the college kids that I've coached, probably ranks at the top as a complete player. Jaire was a guy that played receiver. Most people don't know in high school. He never played DB, and his high school coach talked him into trying to play DB. And I was fortunate enough to recruit him when I was at South Carolina. He was actually committed to us for a while when I was a defense coordinator there, Jaire came to camp to show us his skills, and we put him in to guard some receivers, and we offered him a scholarship from that point. And about a month later, he committed to us. So Jerry and I go way back. I was just blessed to be at Louisville his junior year to coach him, and he's got a tremendous amount of skills. You know, he's a competitive young man that has great ball skills, and I think him playing receiver his entire high school career has helped him in that category.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I've seen his hands. Now, the one thing that that always impresses me, he catches the ball out front. There's a lot of DBs that'll catch it like in their gut. They'll wait till it comes to them. He's a guy that can stick his hands in the air and go out and get it, can he?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, again, I think that's, again, tribute to what he did in high school, and knowing that his future was going to be on the defensive side of the ball, and you know, developing those ball skills earlier in his career. It's really helped him.
I wanted to ask you about his coverage skills, because the one thing that I've noticed is he almost can bait quarterbacks. Now, quarterbacks he's going to see in the NFL are different than quarterbacks he's going to see in college, but there's times where it looks as if he's not even in the play, and all of a sudden he's got this closing speed on the ball that almost like a center fielder tracking it down just before it gets to the wall, that he can almost bait a quarterback into making a mistake, can he?
Yeah, no, and again, that just goes back to his ability to attack the football, and most of the great DBs I've been around, they had that ability to track the ball. And if you, you know, if you're going to be a top-notch performer, whether it's in high school, college, or in the NFL, you got to have ball skills to be a complete player. You know, a lot of reasons that DBs are DBs is because they can't catch as receivers, so they put them on the defensive side of the ball when they're younger. But, you know, Jair, he does. He understands the game. He understands, you know, what quarterback does, and there is time he does bait quarterbacks into throwing the football, because he knows he has the speed to close the distance and has the ability to track the football.
Talking with Lorenzo Ward, secondary coach for the Louisville Cardinals, and talking about his prospect, Jair Alexander, coming to the Green Bay Packers. Now, where would he best be suited? I mean, because now people say, well, he's 5'10", and that's a little undersized for the NFL. Tell me where he would play if you were going to be the secondary coach for an NFL team, and why the 5'10 thing shouldn't worry anybody.
He could play anywhere. He could play outside. He can play inside. You know, Jair understands, you know, positioning. And you, most DBs get in trouble when they always want to make contact with receivers. And if you watch a lot of the plays that Jair made in college, you know, it was looked like there was separation between him and the receiver. When all he's doing is tracking the football. You know, I think we get involved as DBs sometimes getting caught up of being too close to receivers. Then we don't have a chance to be in position to put our body in position to make plays on the football. And so I think he understands that. So I think the size of a receiver is going to be a non-factor. Other than just, you know, a jump ball thrown off the line of scrimmage where you've got to get directly into the receivers at point. But Jerry can play anywhere. He's cat quick, so he can play in the slot. And, you know, he got great cover skills that he play outside. You know, he's very, very competitive. He understands that you can't line up and use the same exact technique every single snap because that receiver's going to figure out how to beat you. And so he tried to mix up his technique. The different tools, we call it a toolbox. You know, I try to get them different tools as a player that what they feel comfortable using, they use them. And, you know, you got to go to your toolbox at times to change up on a receiver, or you're going to just, you know, defeat what you're doing at line of scrimmage if you're doing the same thing over and over to get off the ball.
Now, pardon me, I don't follow the ACC probably as close as I should, but nevertheless, how many pro-style offenses do you face on a regular basis in the ACC?
Well, you know, Florida State does it some. Boston College is definitely a pro-style offense. We see probably three or four a year.
Okay, I just for my own knowledge, was just wondering. I just wanted to kind of figure out who he faced and how he faced particular teams and how he did. Look, I think one thing you can't teach is speed, and we all know he's got a lot of that to burn. And if he's got ball skills and leaping ability, the fact that he was a wide receiver prior to becoming a secondary guy speaks usually pretty well of somebody like that. And the fact that you ended up following him for a couple of colleges and really wanted him that bad, I mean, that says a lot as well, correct?
Yeah, he... You know, and the great thing about it, the young man that's going to be coaching, Joe Witt Jr.
Yeah.
Actually, the guy I think recruited Jair to Louisville.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, they got a familiarity then. Yeah,
they definitely have a familiarity. And but I'm if I'm not mistaken, I think he was here before he left to go to the NFL during the recruiting process of Jair.
There you go. That was Lorenzo Ward a little bit earlier today, the secondary coach for the Louisville Cardinals, talking about Jair Alexander. And a lot of optimism coming out of Lorenzo Ward for what he believes is his prospect coming into the NFL and the ability to go cover and make the secondary better for the Green Bay Packers. 855-830-8648, your thoughts. He joined us, by the way, on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. So I told you before we went into the interview, going in, that the cigar dinners are back this year. And the first one out of the chute is Thursday night, June 7th. That's at the Wisconsin Brewing Company, 1079 American Way. That's in Verona. And 5:30, 5 to 5:30, you're going to sign in. 5:30 to 6:30, the cocktails. 6:30, dinner catered by Wood Barbecue. And then 7:30, the raffle. And then we kind of do the Q&A and a lot of fun. Tickets include a couple of cocktails or drinks in general. Dinner, your full dinner. Salads and all that kind of stuff and dessert. And then four cigars they're going to give you walking through the door, plus all the raffle stuff you get registered for and everything. It's a good night. Only 50 tickets available. Only 50 tickets available. 50 tickets available. That's it. They're $50 a piece. So make sure you get out and get them right now. They sell out real quick. North Sherman Avenue in Madison. That's Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery. There's another Tobacco Outlet Plus on Willow Road in Wanakee. And then Quick Trip on County Road PB in Verona. County Road PB in Verona from Quick Trip. So tickets are on sale for this event at the three Madison area locations. You can go get them, but it's going to sell out quick. And if you need more information, go to quicktrip.com, and they can probably help you out, find the locations, maybe give them a call. But only 50 tickets are available. $50 a piece. That is it. And those things are always always a lot of fun, which is the reason they sell out so quick. They just, right now, they go. And the stuff that they gave away last year was so much more than just the $50. And some of these places, like the Wisconsin Brewing Company, they're fantastic to go to. So spending $50 for four cigars, dinner, a couple of drinks, desserts, and it's a lot of fun. It's a great night out. So if you can make it, by all means do so. Even if you don't smoke cigars, that's fine. Give them to somebody who does. But we still have a great time. And it's open to both men and women. Last year we had, I can't believe how many women we had. And guys were bringing their wives and girlfriends. And they were out having fun as well. So come on out and join us. Coming up this, well, I shouldn't say this, but Thursday night, June 7th. Thursday night, June 7th. We're going to be out in Madison. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, going to wrap things up on the Bill Michael Show right after this. Michael Show on the air. Final segment before we get out of here. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk a little more Bucks and just kind of get your take as we kind of close out the season. I just kind of want to gauge your thoughts on how bright the future is for the Milwaukee Bucks. We all know that the Philadelphia 76ers at one point were behind the Bucks when it came to the development of their team and their roster in the rebuild process. And, well, they're still playing and the Bucks aren't. So where is this team and what is the outlook? Is it bleak or is it bright? We'll get into that discussion tomorrow. Also, we continue to look at the NFL draft. And the guy that puts our draft Bible together, Dan Shonka and his staff, Dan Shonka is going to join us tomorrow from our lad scouting service. And we're going to go over every pick and look at what team got better in his eyes, what team remained the same, or maybe even what team didn't do enough in the draft. So we'll get into that discussion as well. Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, is going to be here. Paul Emig's going to be here. Gary Wolfel's going to be here. Also, Game 2 between the Brewers and the Reds. The Brewers, by the way, when you continue to look at some of these numbers, and the Brewers, today's Tuesday. The Brewers are 3-1 on a Tuesday right now going into this game. 3-1. Tuesday has been one of the big days for them as far as wins and losses go. So 3-1 on Tuesdays, 3-1 on Wednesdays, 500 on Thursdays, a game above 500 on Friday and Saturday, and Sunday seems to be the nemesis. Sundays and Mondays aren't good. They're 2-5 collectively between those 2 days. But one of the things that we had talked about going into the season, some things that the Brewers needed to do, and that's win games after 7 innings and after 8 innings, When the Brewers are leading after seven innings, that bullpen, here's the testament to the bullpen. They're 12-0. 12-0 when leading after seven innings. After last night, 13-0. Leading after eight, they're 13-1 now. And the bullpen, by the way, third best in baseball, in Major League Baseball bullpen ERA leaders. Arizona, number one, Toronto, number two, and the Brewers at number three. Now, the Brewers, by the way, have thrown 11 more innings as a bullpen, more than the Arizona Arizona Diamondbacks, and they have thrown 19 more innings than has Toronto. So you can quickly see the Brewers, yeah, they got a 2.45 ERA as a total bullpen, but they've also thrown a lot more innings than those two teams. And that's one of those statistics you got to pay attention to a little bit, because you don't want to burn that bullpen out by the end of June, getting ready to go into a hot July and into the All-Star break.
Last night's game,
yep,
beating the Reds, that has been charted into my games the Brewers should have won and games the Brewers should have lost.
Mm-hmm.
That was a game the Brewers should have lost. You were down 5-3 in the seventh. I have a certain criteria, because I think you have to ask yourself, how does this fit the criteria? The way I do it, my formula for this, the criteria is that at any point, if the Brewers find themselves down four runs or more, or if they're up four runs or more, and then it goes the opposite way, that can constitute being logged into the chart. Or if you are from the seventh inning on, if you are either winning by one or two or three runs or trailing by one or two or three runs and it goes the other way,
mm-hmm,
that can also be constituted in the chart, and that fit into my criteria for last night. So that has been another game where it felt like the Brewers were going to lose that game to the Reds. They come back, three runs in the seventh inning, take the lead, and then Josh Hader just shuts the Reds down.
Yep.
So there you go.
Hader's been that good.
You know what else is always refreshing?
Hmm.
When you see Joey Votto go down on strikes.
Yeah, because nobody's a fan of Joey Votto.
Nope.
Joey Votto's a fan of Joey Votto, but that's about it. Not one of the nicer people in baseball. They love him in Cincinnati. But
guy's a tool.
He's a total, yeah.
I've had
that's a kind way of putting it for him.
I've had a real life experience trying to interview Joey Votto, and he was a jerk. Tim Allen,
he's agreed to do the interviews, and then he's agreed to do it just to be a jerk.
He's a jerk.
So
he's a total jerk. Whether he's trying to come off, you know, like he's joking around, I don't think so. The guy's just a jerk, and he was a jerk to me when we did an interview a couple years back. Tim Allen got the same exact treatment when he tried to interview him, where the guy, you ask him a question, you put the microphone in his face, he doesn't say a word, and it's awkward for any reporter. And I don't know why he does it. I think it's disrespectful, so I've always had this negative light on Joey Votto. That's how I feel. So if, you know, guy goes down and strikes, guy strikes out, guy's a bad game, no skin off my nose.
Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk more about the Brewers and the Reds. Want to get into that. Hopefully the Brewers get a win. They win the series. At least then we can talk about them kind of getting back on track. Even if it's against a bad team, I don't care. Kind of gauging the future, at least in many's eyes, of the Milwaukee Bucks. I think what Steve Novak had to say today about getting this team together, we were sitting here talking off the air about some things, and he played for Popovich for half a season. I said, what would Pop do? You know, if Popovich walked through the door of the Milwaukee Bucks today and looked at this team and said, okay, this is what I need to do at least to get things off on the right foot. He said the first thing he'd do, he's all about communication. He'd grab your biggest stars and put them together and say, can you play together? Can you play together? Even if guys don't say openly or act as if they have a jealousy or an animosity or whatever it is towards one another, he would still say, I need you to play together. And if you can't play together, tell me and we'll move you. You know, that's fine. But you know, that's the number one thing. Can you play together? You know, I know you need a contract. I know you need to get your points. I know you need to get your assists. I know you need to get all your numbers. But the bottom line is you're not going to get them if you can't play together. If you can't play together, there's no sense in playing one-on-one basketball because you're not going to win basketball games. And you're going to be looked at as a goat anyway. But that was so interesting to listen to and to kind of get that perspective from inside that locker room. So whoever that choice may be, and our buddy, by the way, Andrew Wagner said, why is nobody talking about David Blatt? Seems like he might be a perfect fit for a Giannis-based team. I don't know Blatt well enough to be able to say that he's got the communicative skills to be able to come in and kind of put his arms around this thing and gather it up.
Well, Blatt might have an easier time working with Giannis than he did with LeBron.
Absolutely.
Because LeBron drove him out.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron was calling the shots at that point.
Yep.
So I think, and I'm not for or against David Blatt, but I think at least for Blatt, he would be able to work with Giannis compared to LeBron. It's just two different animals.
By the way, big story, while the Reds are in, or the Brewers are taking on the Reds down in Cincinnati, Pete Rose has now admitted last week in numerous articles, but that he does owe more than $1 million to the IRS. So they have, I guess, taken his Rolls Royce, registered in Nevada with the vanity plate Hit King. They say it's worth $300,000, going to go up for auction. He's still gambling, still owes a ton of money, still in debt, and just has not learned. Has not learned. Still having problems. That's sad. But then again, it's also his own doing. Time for us to get out of here. Have a good one. See you.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.